I want to read a few verses in the Gospel of John, and chapter 8, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 31, verse 31 through to verse 36. It says here, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Ending there at verse number 36. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to these Jews about freedom. You can see that in verse 32 and also in verse 36. He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And we've entitled this message, "Glorious Freedom," because that's what freedom is. Freedom is something which is glorious. It's something which is precious. It's something that's wonderful. In 1838, when the Jamaican slaves got liberty, they were freed from their slavery. And it's believed that they built a coffin of mahogany wood, and they took all the instruments that reminded them of this slavery that they were under for many, many years. The iron bars, the whips with which they were whipped, the handcuffs with which they were held. And they put them into this coffin. And they screwed the lid on this coffin. And then they dug a deep grave in the ground. And they lowered that coffin that reminded them of their slavery down into that grave and filled it in. And as they stood around that filled in grave, they sang from God, from whom all blessings flow. Freedom is a glorious thing. We take it for granted in the West, but it's something that we should cherish. It's something that we should guard. It's something that we should hold dear to our hearts. Once a year, we usually have Remembrance Sunday, and there we remember two world wars and many other wars. Many of our forefathers fought in those wars, shed their blood, and many of them lost their lives, that we might have freedom, that we might have freedom. My dear friends, there's different kinds of freedom. You know, there's individual freedom, freedom of movement. You can go wherever you want in the world today. If you've got a passport and you've got the money to travel, you can go wherever you want. We have freedom, freedom of movement. I remember before the Iron Curtain came down in Eastern Europe, those people hadn't freedom of movement. They weren't allowed out. They weren't allowed across the border into the West. Now they're enjoying that freedom of movement, freedom of choice. We have freedom of choice today. We can choose so many different things. We have freedom of speech, freedom to say what we have to say, although so long as it's not going to bring us to court for slander or something like that. But these are things that are part of everyday life. And we in the West, so often we forget that there's people in other parts of the world that are denied these civil rights that we have. People in Syria today or Iraq today, now they haven't got that freedom that we have. There's individual freedom. And then there's religious freedom. We have the freedom to worship God in the way we see fit. We may not agree with a person's religious beliefs, but they have the freedom to hold those beliefs and to practice those beliefs. And again, there are many who do not enjoy that religious liberty in the world today. And then there's spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom. And that's the kind of freedom that Christ was speaking about here in John chapter 8. He knew that there were many in bondage of their soul. And he was trying to teach them that they were in this bondage. They didn't feel like they were in it. It didn't seem that they were in it. But he's speaking about a spiritual aspect. He's speaking about it in a spiritual way. And sometimes people don't realize that there's such a thing as spiritual bondage. They feel free to do and live as they please, and they don't feel hindered in any way. But in verse 34, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And what he was saying was, he that commits sin is a slave of sin. And then he says this, he says, "And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that's the text I want to take tonight and want to leave with you tonight, because we're talking about a spiritual freedom. Spiritual, the freedom and liberty of the soul. And there's three things I want to underline tonight in this text. First of all, there's the weakness of the slave. The weakness of the slave. The opposite to freedom is bondage. And these people, at that very moment, they were in bondage to the Roman Empire. It's very odd that they said here, when the Lord Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," they answered, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now, at that very moment, the Roman Empire was in control of that land, and they must have forgot their present circumstances, because they were in bondage at that very moment. And they must have very short memories, because 400 years before this, or else they didn't know their history, but 400 years before this, they were in bondage in Egypt, under the taskmasters in Egypt. And since then, they've been brought down to Babylon for 70 years and into Assyria, and had been held in captivity. And so it's very odd that they make this statement about not being in bondage to any man. But they were also in bondage in a spiritual way. They were in bondage to sin. And that's what Jesus was trying to show them and to pinpoint and explain to them. He's seeking to show them how their souls were in bondage to sin, but their souls could be delivered and set free. Yes, literal and physical bondage has almost been abolished in the world today, but there's many souls in bondage, many people in bondage, this spiritual bondage, many are in bondage to sin. Some are the slaves of sin. He says here in verse, 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin," or the slave of sin. Some of the slaves are slaves of a system. Now, there was the system of communism, and there was many people away in the east of Europe and other places, and they were the slaves of that system of communism. And there was many in centuries gone by who were the slaves of Romanism. And there's many different isms that people were the slaves of. Some are the slaves of a system. And many are the slaves of Satan. People's souls are held captive by the devil. Men and women are born into the kingdom of darkness, into the prison house of sin. The God of this world is blinding the minds of them that believe not. When Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians, and in Colossians and chapter 1 of Colossians verse 13, he reminds them here in verse 13, and he says this. He says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You know, those of us here tonight who belong to the Lord, who know the Lord, before we were saved, we were in the kingdom of darkness. We were held captive by the devil at his will. We were prisoners in that kingdom. But the Lord hath delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It's great to be in the kingdom of God's dear Son tonight. Great to be set free. My dear friends, we see pictures of this slavery to Satan in the Scriptures. Remember in the book of Exodus chapter 1, "My Israel was in Egypt." Tells us, "Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." My, the people of God, God's chosen people, were enslaved by a power, by a powerful nation. It was the nation of Egypt. And that's what it's like for men and women who are the slaves of sin. My, they're enslaved by the power of Satan. He wants to keep them in his kingdom. Remember the story in Acts 12 of Peter, how that Herod took James, the brother of John, and slew him with the sword. And it says, because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he took Peter also, intending after Easter to bring him forth and to slay him also. And you know, Peter was put in prison. He was put in a prison. And that's what it's like to be enslaved by Satan. He was held captive. He was chained. He was condemned. He was powerless. He was delivered to four quadronions of soldiers. He was helpless. He was perishing. My, he was in danger. My, that's what it's like for the man or woman who's in bondage to sin. Remember in Mark 5, the man in the tombs, possessed with a legion of demons, his whole life was taken over by Satan. He was possessed. He was in a mess. So a slave is someone who's under a great power, a power greater than himself, and they're powerless, and they're helpless, and they're in perishing. They're in danger of perishing. And this is what Jesus was saying here in verse 34. He says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin," or is the slaves of sin. And you know, there's many tonight who are the slaves of sin. Some are the slaves of sinful pleasure. There's a habit they cannot overcome. They're a slave to that habit. It may be that nicotine has a hold upon them. And there's many people tonight under in slavery to nicotine. and slavery to it. They would love to give the fags up. They know the harm they do to their body, to their lungs. They know the statistics as far as lung cancer is concerned. They know all about it. But they're helpless. They're held captive. They're the slaves of sin. They're the slaves of nicotine. And there's others tonight, and you know, they're the slaves of alcohol. The slaves of it. They no longer enjoy it, but it's something they cannot get rid of or give up. They're alcoholics. They're alcoholics. They hide it in cupboards. They do all sorts of things to hide it so that it'll be there for them, because they're slaves of it. They're in slavery. There's many young people tonight and older people, and they're in slavery to drugs. They need that fix. They'll do anything to get that sensation, that fix. My, they'll steal to get it. They'll rob their mother's purse to get the money for the drugs. They'll even kill to get it. Dear friends, they're slaves. Slaves of sinful pleasure. People are held captive. They're in slavery tonight. My, spiritual slavery certainly not abolished. My, anywhere in the world, because many people are in spiritual slavery. Some are the slaves of pride. Their pride won't allow them to bow the knee. They fear what people will say or think if they would come to Jesus. Some are the slaves of possessions. Their whole life revolves around business, possessions. They're like the rich farmer. They've time for business, time for so many things, but no time for God, and no time to prepare their soul for eternity. A slave is helpless and powerless and hopeless. There's many people tonight in this world and in this town, and they're the slave of sin. They're a prisoner in the prison house of sin. You see, the weakness of the slave. The slave is helpless. My, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But the second thing I want you to see in the text is not only the weakness of the slave, but the work of the Son. It says here, Jesus said, he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free. You see, the first thing we can learn from that, friends, is this. That a slave cannot free himself. A slave cannot free himself. He needs someone to come and set him free. He needs someone powerful enough to break the shackles that bind him, and who has the ability or the wherewithal to pray for his freedom. If he's a slave, he needs someone to pay the price of his freedom and to set him free. And you know, to put it in a word, he needs redemption. He needs redemption. He or she needs to be redeemed. And the slave of sin could only be redeemed by someone powerful enough to do it, and who was able to pay the price that was required to set them free. Redemption, it means to deliver. It means to set free by the payment of a ransom price. That's what it means. And before the slaves of sin could be set free, the price for sin had to be paid. And you know, that's where the good news comes in tonight. That's where the good news of the gospel comes in. Dear friends, that's why God sent a Son. That's why God sent a Son. My, Paul writes in the letter to the Galatians, and he says, you know, when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, listen to it, to redeem them that were under the law. He sent his Son to redeem them that were under the law, to redeem them that were under the power of sin. And my, we read about the plan of redemption. Peter, in his epistle, talks about a lamb being chosen before the foundation of the world. My, away in eternity, redemption's plan was drawn out in heaven. And the Son, the second person of the Godhead, was set aside to be the lamb that would come. We see in the plan of redemption. And he talks about the price of redemption. Peter says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. By the price for us slaves was a gigantic price. It was more than all the silver and gold that's in this world. It's more than all the dollars that's in Fort Knox, than all the pounds that's in the Bank of England vaults. More. It was the blood of God's Son. The blood of Jesus. That was the price that had to be paid. And bless God, that price was paid when our blessed Lord hung on yon cross at Calvary and shed his precious blood for poor slaves like you and me. He paid the ransom price in drops of ruby blood. The hymn writer says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilty stains. My, the Son of God went down into the prison house of sin and paid the redemption's price with his own precious blood. And because the price is paid, he opened the door of the prison house so that prisoners could be set free. See here, the possession of redemption. Dear friends, because redemption's price has been paid, the door of the prison house is open tonight. That doesn't mean you're saved yet. In order to experience that redemption, you need to step out by faith and receive what Christ has purchased for you at the place called Calvary. And I want to tell you tonight that there's only one who can set you free. The only one who can set you free and bring you out of the prison house is Jesus. Money cannot set you free from sin tonight. Good works cannot set you free from being a prisoner and a slave in the prison house of sin. The church cannot set you free from sin. Prayers cannot set you free. Baptism cannot set you free. These things cannot set you free. But God's Son can set you free. He can set you free because he has the power. And he has paid the price. And he has the wherewithal to redeem. It was like Boaz in the little book of Ruth. My, she needed a redeemer. But she needed one who had the wherewithal to pay the price of her redemption. And this is the work that the Son of God came to do. He came to set prisoners free from the prison house of sin and to liberate the captives. And there's glorious freedom for the soul through Christ. Yes, if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. You see the weakness of the slave. The slave cannot free himself. You see the work of the Son. Only Jesus Christ can set you free because of his blood. And you see tonight the wonderful of the Savior. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's glorious freedom. That's glorious freedom. Ye shall be free indeed. What are the things that the Son of God came to set you free from? My dear friends, he can set you free from guilt. People are burdened and enslaved by the guilt of sin. They know that they're sinners. They remember sins that maybe they committed years and years and years ago. And the guilt of that sin bears upon them like a heavy burden. And they're burdened by the past and weighed down. My dear friends, the Lord can save us from the guilt. The blood of Christ has power to cleanse us from all sin. We read in that great verse, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I can set you free from guilt. He can set you free from fear. There are many fears that people have. Fear of death. Fear of the future. Fear of judgment. Fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, the thing that keeps people back from coming to Christ more than anything else is the fear of what people will think about them and the fear of what people will say about them. Dear friends, he can set you free from the power of sin. Instead of being defeated by sin each day, you can have victory over it. See, when you come to Christ, you get new life within. People say, you know, "I could never give up the cigarettes. I've tried. I've tried to give them up. I could never give up the booze. I've tried." His book says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." You know, friends, there's glorious freedom through Christ tonight, the Son of God. The Son of God can set you free. He can set you free from the prison house. He can give you glorious freedom. In 1865, the famous President Abraham Lincoln was shot dead, was assassinated in a theater in Washington, D.C. 2 years before that, in 1863, on the first of the year, he signed that bill that was called the Emancipation Bill, which led to the freedom and liberty of 4 million slaves in America. 4 million. 2 years later, on the 15th of April, 1865, Abraham Lincoln was shot in a theater in Washington. And a young girl who sat nearby that was wearing a white silk dress cradled the president's head upon her lap and sought to comfort him in his dying hour. When she got home, she thought about trying to remove the stain, the blood stain, from the white silk dress. But after thinking about it, she decided that she would cut it out of the dress and send it to Lincoln's home state in Springfield, Illinois, to the city fathers. And they decided that they would take that white dress that was stained by the president's blood and they would put it in Lincoln's museum. And under it they wrote this caption: "The man who set the slaves free." The man who set the slaves free. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the man who set us slaves free. His blood was shed. He died because his blood was shed. He gave his life because his blood was shed and his life was freely given. Praise God tonight through that blood, the efficacious and part of it, your sins can be cleansed and your soul can be gloriously set free. The only man who can set you free tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you need to do is open your heart and receive him, the liberator, the savior, the redeemer, the one who died to cleanse you. Yes, and if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. May God enable each one of us tonight to know something of this glorious freedom. May God bless his word to our hearts.